Hi there, welcome to the OSLA podcast. My name's Todd Fraser and I'm here with another episode from the 21st annual ANZIC CTG conference from Noosa, Australia. And joining me on the podcast today is Ed Litton. Ed is exploring a targeted approach to diagnostic testing in the ICU in a project known as TikTok. Ed, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
So TikTok, you presented to the CTG audience this morning, that intimidating bunch that they are. Tell us about TikTok. What are you proposing?
Yeah, okay. So TikTok is a cluster randomized step wedge registry-based trial looking at reduction in diagnostic testing, particularly x-rays and blood tests. So that's the sort of in a nutshell. What I really see it as is an opportunity to bring the sort of scientific rigor we apply to clinical trials to the quality improvement framework. And can we do things in a better way that gives us more confidence in the results we're seeing and optimizes the results for our patients?
So the particular problem that you're focusing on is, well, over-diagnosis or overuse of diagnostic tests?
Yeah, so I mean, I should say that my co-lead on this is Matt Anstey, who's an intensivist at Charlie's and chair of the Choosing Wisely campaign. And so we thought Choosing Wisely was a good place to start because it already has a lot of consumer buy-in, and these are problems that have been identified both by ICU clinicians and by patients as things that they want to solve that are important to them. So the reduction in unnecessary and unwarranted diagnostic testing is important. It's important to doctors, patients, and probably hospital managers. So we think that's a great place to start. And it's also a problem that we think we can look at purely through existing registry data, which makes it really great too, because if you can collect all the data you need just from existing registries, number one, it makes it much more easy to implement at the site. And number two is, whether you're talking about a trial or quality improvement, what you're interested in is translation and sustainability. And if you've got ongoing data collection within that sort of framework of your registry, then you can assess that and potentially benchmark against other sites.
So I'm presuming that as a background to this study, you would have some data about what our current utilisation of these resources are.
Yeah, so I mean, there's a number of things. Basically, the existing data is almost invariably single site before and after quality improvement initiatives. Some of them are very well conducted, but suffer from the limitations of any before and after study in terms of actually understanding what the impact of the intervention is rather than just the secular trend over time. And likewise, they're, you know, vastly underpowered and under methodologicalized to assess causal inference. So, you know, if you're implementing these things, we have an assumption that they are safe and effective. But we know from conducting trials that sometimes the questions we ask, even though it seems like the answer is clear and obvious, we get unexpected answers. And invariably, when these quality improvement initiatives get conducted, sites report patient-centered outcomes in an attempt to understand whether they've improved, made no difference, or indeed worsened outcomes. But really, their design methodology prevents any sort of causal inference. And what TikTok does as a cluster randomized trial conducted at multiple sites is actually allow us to understand causally whether this is in fact safe and how effective it is.
So what sort of diagnostic testing are we talking about in TikTok specifically?
So we're talking about the routine blood tests mm-hmm. and x-rays, chest x-rays in particular, that we conduct. So what we're interested in is at sites where they feel that they undertake routine daily tests, particularly things like full blood counts, urine electrolytes, coagulation tests, liver function, and daily chest x-rays for ventilated patients. If that is your current standard of care, And you're a site that is interested in implementing a more targeted approach, then we're really interested in you as a site to come on board, because I think we can, as I say, put that rigor around it. And, you know, we move away from trying to differentiate quality improvement from randomized control trials. You know, it's been said by many others before, but really comparative effectiveness, randomized trials, and best practice quality improvement should be one and the same thing. And this, I think, in theory at least, provides a framework to do that in a way that you could have buy-in for many other things. Let's say you have multiple sites identifying out-of-hours discharges as being a problem. You could seek to implement an intervention to reduce after-hours discharges. And in exactly the same way, you have a step-wedge multi-site study where all the data comes from the ANZIC's core APD or other and or other local registries. And you put that rigor around quality improvement and you implement it as the corporate knowledge of many sites and their best practice.
So for those who aren't aware of the structure of this trial, can you explain what a step wedge approach is?
Sure, yeah. So we're talking about randomization and clustering. So clustering in this sense means you're randomizing whole ICUs, not individual patients. And the randomization here, it's step wedge because every ICU implements the intervention. The only thing that is randomized is the timing of when you implement it. So some units will be randomized to implement early, some during the middle, and some later on. And I've worked closely with Andrew Forbes and Jessica Kazza at the Monash Biostats unit, and they've come up with a great model where with somewhere between 21 and 30 ICUs, you can get this whole study done, all ICUs, within a 14-month period. And you're implementing either earlier or later. Your ICUs just randomized to implementing at a certain date, which will be earlier or later in the study.
And so how does the analysis work? Are you using, is each unit using itself as its own control and you're watching a change overall over time?
Yeah, so the modelling is complex and requires an understanding of the within ICU correlation of ICU length of stay, but you are using each ICU as its own control, and the randomization is a way to understand, tease out secular trends, change over time, which is built into the model as well.
Yeah. So some of the outcomes that you're measuring are looking at utilization of the resources.
Yeah.
Is this primarily an economic driver for this, or are there patient harms, for example?
So our primary endpoint is non-inferiority of ICU length of stay.
Right.
Because I think, number one, you want to show that this is not harmful to patients. We think it's a good idea, and it probably is, but we can power this for a 10% margin, non-inferiority with a 10% margin for ICU length of stay, which we think is pretty good. And then we power it for superiority of the intervention in terms of decrease of blood tests. And we also do a fairly detailed cost analysis, which really only requires each site to give us the cost of each of those individual tests. And then we just extract the aggregate data over the time and we put it all together.
So the length of stay is a catch-all for overall safety.
Yeah.
How does that incorporate with things like mortality and so on?
Yeah, so, you know, as I guess with many trials, there are trade-offs in terms of power, number of sites, number of patients. We looked at mortality as well, and of course we'll report it, but it's probably implausible to get sufficient sites for this study to look at mortality. But realistically, I think length of stay is still clinically important. I guess you need to show that it hasn't influenced mortality to make sure that that's a competing interest in terms of ICU length of stay, but also probably people who die actually on average spend longer in the ICU rather than shorter. So I think that works in our favor too. So there's a compromise there, as there is with many trials, in terms of what's feasible, but it's not perfect, but I see it as a step up from the very well conducted but single center before and after quality improvement initiatives that currently dominate the domain. And I think, as I said, I think this could be a model that others could use to do all sorts of different things with.
So where is TikTok in its evolution?
So I wanted to come to the CTG and just make sure there weren't any major blind spots and just get the feedback of the group about some of the issues you raise in terms of the endpoints and the intervention and those things. We've put in for an MRFF grant. We don't know whether it'll be successful, but there is an inexorable tide moving towards more restricted testing. And so we probably have an opportunity really in the next few months to get this up and off the ground. So we're certainly looking for sites. And the feedback already from the session earlier this morning has been positive, but I definitely encourage potentially interested sites to get in contact with myself or Matt Anstey, my co-lead on this. We're hoping to get up and running within 6 months.
So for those sites who are out there listening to this, what do they need to be in terms of their characteristics and how do they get in touch?
Yeah, okay, good point. So if your site contributes to the ANZICS core APD and you think you are able to extract aggregate data on your blood test and or x-ray use in the ICU, and you're anything other than a private ICU, we'd love to have you on board. There are no individual patient exclusions. We would just include everyone who was admitted to your ICU in that time.
And how do they get in touch?
My email, probably, ed_Litton, LITTO for Oscar, N for November, @hotmail.com.
Fantastic. Ed, thanks very much for joining us on the podcast.
Cool. Thanks, Todd.
Thanks for joining us on Osler Podcasts. For more great podcasts just like this, visit our website at osler.force.com.